Follow traffic, clear visual approach, runway 4 right, maintain 17 down on the 5 mile final. 17 to 5 out.
Guidance to help prevent the most common cause of accidents in our industry. From the National Business Aviation Association, this is Flight Plan, brought to you by Varion. I'm Rob Finfrock with your trusted source for the very latest business aviation news and information. The FAA defines a runway excursion as an aircraft overrunning the end of the runway or departing off to the side of the runway surface. These excursions can occur during takeoff, but the vast majority take place during landing. Runway excursions are the leading cause of accidents among turbine business aircraft operations. According to the Flight Safety Foundation, between 2017 and 2022, there were 79 runway excursions involving business jets worldwide, which accounted for more than the next two accident types combined, and nearly 41% of all accidents during that period. Of those 79 accidents, six involved fatalities. But even when passengers and crew are able to walk away from a runway excursion, they almost always cause significant damage to the aircraft. To combat this issue, in 2016, the NBAA Safety Committee developed the resource Reducing Runway Excursions in Business Aviation. This resource has since been updated last year by the NBAA Domestic Operations Committee, and I'm pleased to have representatives from both committees on this podcast today. Eric Knupp is head of flight operations at Live Oak Bank and past chair of the Domestic Operations Committee for NBAA. Also with me is Marty Plumley, SMS manager and safety risk management leader for Boeing Digital Aviation Solutions and leader of the Runway Safety Working Group for the NBAA Safety Committee. Marty, before we delve into this and other resources to help business aviation flight crews avoid runway excursions, what are some factors that can lead to departing the runway unexpectedly?
Unstable approaches are a huge factor that we found in different safety working groups that I'm part of, both NBAA and on commercial aviation. For takeoff runway excursions in particular, is what we notice are runway conditions, possibly pilot distractions, and the mishandling of mechanical failures.
And Eric, all of those potential causes are addressed in the updated NBAA resource.
Yeah, we cited data from the Flight Safety Foundation on takeoffs specifically. Rejected takeoffs make up two of the top three. And you think, well, that's odd. Why is it separated into two? Well, one is above V1 and the other one is below V1, but at high speed. And then the third of the top three on takeoff was directional control. That might be from, you know, a gust of wind or an engine failure or something like that. And then for landing, as Marty mentioned, you know, unstable approaches and failure to go around is the number one cause. And then that leads to long landings, which is the second leading cause, and then contaminated runways where you had limited braking. So all fall under the human factors category, though. So I think that's important to note that because we're all humans operating these aircraft and making these mistakes, they are 100% correctable.
You also cite notable accidents that can be linked back to those causes.
A couple that jump out at me. Number one is probably pretty well known, the G4 that ran off the runway in Bedford about 10 years ago. What came out of that investigation was that the flight crew had engaged in habitual noncompliance in terms of not conducting the flight control check, and they'd been doing this for quite some time prior to the accident itself. That showed procedural drift. It showed expectation bias. In other words, they had successfully taken off without conducting a flight control check numerous times, and so they became biased to expect the same result each time. And then, of course, just good old complacency. So one of the things that we delved into in the guide and is not widely talked about in the industry is some of the psychological factors that lead to some of these judgments that crews are making. So the other point that we make, we talked about habitual noncompliance with that crew, is that noncompliance does not have to be habitual in order to create a catastrophe. It only has to happen once. So it doesn't have to be habitual. And then the other accident, the one that jumps out at me as a management pilot myself, was the Citation Latitude crash in Tennessee. The approach itself was unstable. And as we just mentioned, that failing to go around from an unstable approach is the number one cause on landing. The pilot flying actually stated on the CVR, should we go around? And the chief pilot he was flying with said no. So the management pilot kind of overrode the pilot flying's decision or observation, at least, that a go-around was really called for.
Marty, you mentioned pilot distraction as another possible factor in runway excursion accidents. Does a specific incident or accident come to your mind?
One in particular that I think of quite often here in Colorado that occurred at the airport in Aspen. As everybody knows, Aspen's pretty notorious for runway excursions in particular. But in this case, the aircraft was coming in at night to pick up a party on a charter. They were under time pressure from the person being picked up on the charter. They had adverse weather conditions that they were dealing with. In this case, heavy winds, which is not a good thing going into Aspen. The pilot monitoring was working weather and trying to get additional information and working with ATC. The pilot flying was spending a lot of time monitoring the pilot monitoring, and they lost track of their tailwind envelope, ended up landing with a 22-knot tailwind, went off the runway and cartwheeled, destroying the aircraft, and also both parties were deceased. The investigation revealed that they were dealing not only with the weather and ATC, but other issues inside the cockpit that distracted them from the task at hand, which is deciding whether they should go around or not and what their tailwind envelope was.
More in just a moment after this word from our sponsor.
Take your aviation operations to new heights. Introducing Varion, formerly known as ATP, your ultimate partner in achieving maximum aircraft uptime. At Varion, we understand the challenges faced by everyone in aviation. Our industry-leading technology solutions revolutionize aircraft management, so there's no more waiting, no more wondering, and no more wasted effort. Get real-time visibility of your maintenance, inventory, operations, and regulatory data right at your fingertips with an easy-to-use system, backed by a team of experts with deep aviation knowledge offering 24/7, 365 support. After 50 years in the business, we have built a growing reputation for getting our customers more aircraft uptime. That's why thousands of aircraft operators worldwide have already discovered the power of Varion. Say goodbye to downtime and hello to increased efficiency and profitability. Visit Varion.com to learn more. Varion, let's get you more uptime.
We're back with Eric Knupp and Marty Plumley and our discussion about tips for preventing runway excursions. And Marty, how do you recommend flight crews mitigate the risk of a runway excursion even before they start the engines?
Have definite red line standard operating procedures where air crews will do go-arounds or reject takeoffs that are well within safety standards, and make those a habit and practice them. Not only that, but celebrate the fact that people do follow your SOP and adhere to those regulations that you put upon yourself, such as we will do a go-around if we are not stable by 500 feet, 1,000 feet, whichever limit you put on it. And the same thing with rejected takeoffs, that if something is noticed below V1 or VREF, that you will conduct an aborted takeoff.
Eric, those sound like guidelines that could also be incorporated into a flight risk assessment tool, or FRAT.
Yeah, FRAT tools are available from a number of different providers, or of course that can be developed in-house. There are also some other options that are not so quantitative in nature, but any way that you can assess the risk of a flight before conducting the flight is strongly encouraged. And of course, that tails into hopefully the development of a safety management system. But I would say don't limit yourself to just what's available out there. The focus should be really on doing some sort of risk assessment before the flight is planned. I think once you do that, you uncover, as they say, a superior pilot uses his superior judgment to stay out of situations where he has to use his superior skill to save his aircraft. And so I think by assessing the risk ahead of time, you can identify items where, hey, we may not want to put ourselves in that position, be that, you know, tailwinds going into Aspen or a contaminated runway or any of the other factors that may lead to a runway excursion.
Marty, the NBAA Safety Committee also created a set of protocols to enable operators to benchmark runway excursion prevention efforts. How can operators collect and analyze data to identify potential trends and gauge the effectiveness of their runway excursion mitigation efforts?
One thing that we've looked at in particular is the development of rigorous FOQA type programs that gather data from individual missions, of the pilots themselves and from the aircraft, and judge how well people are adhering to their standard operating procedures, and making sure that we use that data in an anonymous fashion to encourage the use of standard operating procedures in particular. There also are a number of resources out there from not only from NBAA, but other groups such as IATA and or GAMA that are examples of how both on the commercial and general aviation side, people have been able to collect data by themselves or from major operations to see how well aircrew are responding in the runway environment, both on takeoff and landing. I have encouraged my contacts in business aviation to get a hold of that data, to monitor their own data closely and find out where their problem areas are, where barriers they have in place are working or not working through various methods such as bow tie analysis to determine if they need to put additional measures in place to help prevent events such as runway excursions.
How might flight crews be able to structure simulator training sessions to help identify and mitigate risks of a runway excursion?
That's a great point as well. On a routine basis is what I recommend to people is they add in situations either for adverse weather conditions, you know, kind of on the extreme side, work with those, work with winds, work with that, but also see what you can do to simulate contaminated runway conditions so you know what you're going to do if there's snow on the runway or water or different runway types such as grooved or ungrooved runways. Work hard to simulate mechanical failures such as engine failures, brake failures, and those sorts of things to experience those in a simulator environment before you have to deal with it possibly in a real world situation.
Eric, I believe you're familiar with such training.
Yeah, so one of the courses that we all took in my operation recently was an advanced takeoff go, no-go decision making course offered by one of the Part 142 training centers. And it was some of the best training that I've ever had. And all of the flight crews agreed with that assessment. It completely revolutionized the way we brief a takeoff and the way we approach whether we will or will not abort. As I mentioned, rejected takeoffs are the two of the top three causes of runway excursions on takeoff. And so whether you're doing it above V1 or below V1, it's still a very high rate of accidents. So I think having a better grip on when you should and should not abort your takeoff really goes a long way to mitigating that risk. I would also say practice a high-speed abort in the simulator, but below V1. We always tick that box of doing a V1 cut. And of course, when you do a V1 cut, you almost always continue the takeoff. But we never really get a lot of experience rejecting a takeoff between, say, 80 and 110 knots. But that's one of the top three leading causes. So practice that in the simulator so you can see what it's like in the real world and why it's really a pretty high-risk maneuver.
Eric, we've already mentioned some additional resources available to help operators avoid these accidents. I understand the Safety Committee included some of these in the NBAA Guide on Reducing Runway Excursions in Business Aviation.
We structured it specifically so that it is a conversation starter. We actually included a number of references in the guide itself. There's about 10 references that are listed at the end of the guide and are peppered throughout. There are also links to accident reports that you can delve into. And there are four videos that were created by the TAP working group to discuss a lot of these factors that we've talked about. So those are all embedded in the guide itself. We really wanted it to be a place where you could go and just have a high-level review. But then also, if you want to delve into the immense amount of research from folks like the Flight Safety Foundation or the FAA, those references are in there as well. So the Flight Safety Foundation is a great resource. I would also say there are other online providers that have put together some really excellent online training courses that can be very helpful to operators that are wanting to learn more about this.
Marty, in addition to some of the resources you mentioned, I know that several owner-pilot associations within business aviation have also looked toward this issue, including the Citation Jet Pilots Association's Safe to Land program.
CJP is a great organization and has a multitude of case studies on runway excursions. Other type clubs such as the Lance Air Club, Bombardier, has a good deal of information that's available, Pilatus, Gulfstream, etc. Was talking yesterday with a G600 pilot, and they have developed a bank of information on previous runway excursions and events that have been experienced by air crew, and also the manufacturer's recommendations that they have for preventing runway excursions. So for the type of airplane that you're flying, be it a Gulfstream, Bombardier, doesn't matter, Cessna, always delve into those manufacturer recommendations and what information they have. The case studies that are available to me are one of the best resources out there. Learn from what other people have experienced and what's happened to them. And that way, at least you're aware of it and may not repeat it. One of the things I always like to touch on is self-awareness and setting your own standards and your own red lines. Know what you will and will not do. You're the one in charge of the airplane. You're the one who makes the decisions. And you need to have that in your mind and in your mindset that there's certain things you will and will not do, situations you will and will not tolerate, and know your risk level and what you are capable of doing as a professional pilot. What is your skill set and how up to speed are you on certain things? And if you're not up to speed on things that you want to, make sure you get the training to do it.
I would actually take Marty's comments, which are excellent, and maybe go one step further and say operators should have standard operating procedures that are already fleshed out and published for all of their flight crews. That way, when situations arise that might be sort of on the edge of what should we or shouldn't we, it's already spelled out in your SOPs, and it's a more objective pre-planned measurement of what that operator feels is within the boundaries of their risk profile. For example, let's say you're going into either a narrow runway or a contaminated runway. Maybe you should limit the amount of crosswind that you're willing to take and not go to the full maximum that's listed in the airplane's AFM, just as an example. Also, one of the things that the Flight Safety Foundation discusses is having a better, more acceptable policy on go-arounds or stabilized approaches to begin with. It has to be realistic so that your flight crews buy into that. Otherwise, they're probably not going to be adherent to it. So really developing those SOPs and then making sure that those SOPs are suitable for your operation. And continuing to learn. You know, we learn from our own mistakes. We learn from the mistakes of others. And incorporating those learning opportunities into your SOPs as you go forward.
You can find NBAA's resource, Reducing Runway Excursions in Business Aviation, and other useful information to prevent these accidents at nbaa.org/runway excursions. And that's the latest from the National Business Aviation Association. Remember, you can subscribe to all Flight Plan episodes at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts, including by asking your virtual assistant or connected device. Of course, you can also download Flight Plan directly from nbaa.org. I'm Rob Finfrock. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for a new episode of Flight Plan.
Right base, sending out 3500.
All right, we got him inside. We're still on effect 170.